God's total provision is this would be part two this morning, or he did it for love would be an alternate. If you prefer that title, that's your title. And the first, there are many things, many aspects of his provision. The first one we found last week in verse 1, the testimony or witness of God, depending on your translation. It's the same word there. And it's talking about God's testimony of who he is and what he says he will do. And that his promises are yea and amen. You can count on it. And secondly, we have the faith of God from verse 5, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of God, on wisdom of men, but on the wisdom of God. Everything happens through faith. And any faith that you have, you can't claim there's anything in you from him. It's a gift. And then thirdly, as part of the review, we have the power of God, another aspect of God's total provision. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And his power not only does it all, but enables you to do it all when you step in to that power by faith. It's his provision for victory for you and I. So with that, let's pick it up with our text for today. No guarantee we'll get to all of it, but our text will begin in 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 7. I think I gave you verse 4, right? So we'll start at verse 4. And my message, Paul speaking, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, God's word is full of power, and he backs it up with his very power that is released by the anointing of Holy Spirit. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Stop there and see how far we get this morning. So we had the testimony or witness of God. We had, and I really shouldn't eat sweets while I'm preparing my message because the papers stick together afterwards. But I just couldn't resist those peanut M&Ms yesterday. Testimony of God, the faith of God, and the power of God. And number 4 is the word of God. Verse 7, which says, But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, that's the word of God. Predestined before the ages to our glory. So that your this word mystery is referring to the very gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to be doing what I call pearl stringing, and that's using a number of scriptures to support what I'm going to say. So firstly, 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the Word of God is what it's saying there. Next, Romans 16:25. The gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The mystery kept secret for long ages. It's talking about releasing the Word of God for man to live by, to feed on, to get direction, encouragement, hope, a vision. Ephesians 6:19, and pray on my behalf, Paul's asking, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. There it is again, the Word of God, the Bible. Even as God ordained people in New Testament times under the unction of the Holy Spirit to write what we now have as the Old as the New Testament. At this time, all they had was the text of the Old Testament. To declare with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living, is active, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It does what nothing else can do. It cuts and it exposes men's motives. Sometimes you can't know who the person really is by what they're saying because you don't know the heart condition. You don't know really, what is their motivation for saying what? But the word will expose that very thing, the thoughts and the intentions of a man's heart. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. For you, any yous in here? For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living, abiding Word of God. And you know, if you are going to plant a flower garden or a vegetable garden, you're going to need seed. And if you read the package, it will say such and such percent germination. In other words, they're guaranteed you, when you buy their product, that a certain percent, if you do what's necessary, you plant it correctly, you water it, it gets fertilized, it will germinate. But that seed, if left just sitting in a sack or a package over time, that's no longer valid. And why is that? It's perishable. It won't produce that percentage of germination. But not so with God's word. It's imperishable. It has stood and will stand the test of time. And that very word, the Bible says, you have been born again by that very word that's imperishable. As long as you keep hold of it by faith, nothing can touch you or degrade its efficacy. That is, by the living and abiding Word of God. Sometimes we don't realize the power that's living within us. I think most times, probably, we don't. But the Word is filled with power, so the degree to which you are filled with the Word, you are filled with power as well. And it speaks His truth. So we need to know the Word first. We need to read it, listen to it, if that's the way you get the Word in. We need to speak the Word, proving that we've given it a home, a place, exercising the Word by faith, and then living it out, demonstrating that you believe the Word of God. Even if, and especially if, everything tells you it's not so. It's even more important during those times when you're going through something, when you need healing and you don't see it forthcoming, when you need finances and you don't see anything coming in. You have to stand on the Word of God. Stand in faith. God will never disappoint. The problem is we have an agenda. We have a time. We want what we want when we want it. That's how we've grown up. Instant gratification in our society. The deepest work happens when you wait on Him. You will learn things, you will learn about Him, and you will learn about yourself when you purpose to wait on the Lord for the fulfillment of those things you submit to Him. The Word of God is God's provision for us, for you. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and He gives glory. No good thing does He withhold for those who walk uprightly. Who are those? Those who live according to His word. That's how we walk uprightly or live uprightly. His word is His provision with power for godly living. His provision with power that enables you to live for God. Getting hot in here. I'm burning up. I'm getting thirsty. Are you getting thirsty for God this morning? He's got some more. He's got some more provision for you today. Number five is the wisdom of God. From verses 6 and 7 in 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 6 says, we speak wisdom, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified for a certain person who reads the Amplified. We all know who that is up in the old sound booth up there. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7. It's a little lengthy, but it gets the point across. Yet, when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, that is, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of the present age, nor of this world, or of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding. And now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, that is, to lift us into the glory of His presence. Wow, that's a mouthful. God's wisdom. There is no wisdom apart from Him, actually. Romans 11:33 says it this way. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable are His ways. That's deep. That's profound. That stands the test of time, God's wisdom. First Corinthians 1, 23 and 24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's see. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Paul's saying, I have the goods. And what I deliver is more than enough for you to live a prosperous, faith-filled, productive, godly life. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That's God's wisdom. Boom. Powerful. Satisfies whatever the situation, whatever the need. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, without finding fault, without questioning you or your motives when you ask for wisdom. And it will be given to him. Bible, chapter and verse. You need wisdom? You know where to go. Remember. You know the one who knows it all. No, I'm not saying he's a know-it-all. He doesn't think he's a know-it-all. He knows it all. So he's not bragging. He does know it all. So it's not a brag. It's not a boast. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Gee, I think we sang something about that this morning, didn't we? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. He has the wisdom to answer any question you might come up with. And some of those questions are pretty wild. And we have a young lady downstairs right now that asks all kinds of questions, far beyond her age, by the way. And guess what? God answers them at her level in a way she can understand. He'll do the same for you. Young or old. Wisdom to answer any question, solve any problem, resolve and redeem any situation. Not only that, it gives him great pleasure to give to you out of his treasure house of knowledge and wisdom. He's just waiting for you to ask so that he can release what you need. You know, that's who he is. Do you know that? Have you experienced that? He's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. Wisdom of God. Number six, the love of God. Where would I be without the love of God? Not in a pretty place. That I do know. That I am assured of. Because I know what I was doing. I know how I was living before I experienced the love of God. A love no one else can give me but him. That's his provision, and a very important provision for all of us. The love of God. Verse 9. But just as it is written, and this is the verse that God woke me up with at 3 in the morning a couple of weeks ago, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. You know, God's given us a measure of wisdom so we can function. But we have no idea all that God has prepared for us. Only he knows. Only he can provide that info when you need it and how you need it to be spoken to you in a way that you can understand and then apply in your life. The love of God. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For from of old they have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides thee who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You see, there's a dynamic that you and I need that we're not going to access in any other way, by trusting and waiting on him. His love won't fail you. I assure you of that. He wants you to experience that kind of love that provides for you in not just getting by, not just skimming by, not just squeaking by, but John 10:10, not up there. He came that you might have life and life more abundantly. That's who he is. That's why he came. So that we wouldn't experience a humdrum life. That life would be exciting. Life would be adventurous. Doesn't mean there won't be challenges, but he will help us meet those challenges. With his power, with his faith, with his grace, and for his glory. Romans 5:5. Double grace. 5:5. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You know, you wouldn't be able to experience the level of love without Holy Spirit taking the blinders off, helping you to focus and devote yourself and your attention so you can be a recipient of that kind of love. Oh, man. I have never been the same. So 1978. God took a wrecking ball and knocked me out of what I thought life was all about. Came in out of love and changed me forever. And for that, I will be forever grateful. The love of God has been poured out within your heart. Let that sink in through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4, 4 to 6. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those, that's you, that's me, that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons, as daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba. Abba, Father. You couldn't do it without that, without God intervening, without Jesus. That could not become a reality for any of us. The love, the very love of God, was the motivation to give his only begotten Son, the Bible says. That whosoever would believe on him would be saved, would be delivered, would be transformed, would be enabled to live a life they could live in no other way with the love of God. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, you might have thought you were a pretty good person before God got a hold of you, before God demonstrated his love in a way you never felt or understood. But you weren't. You were a sinner. And now you're a sinner saved by grace. That's the difference. You still have those same tendencies to want to stray, to want to do what you want to do, and to go places you want to go when the Holy Spirit is saying, that is not a good place for you to go. That will do you no good. In fact, it will do you harm. You say, well, Pastor, you know, you're... No, I'm not. I'm made of clay. I have to make those decisions daily to not sin, to not yield to temptation by his grace and by his power. Because I know his love, and I know that love won't fail me. 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but he loved us. When? And sent his Son to be the 25-cent word, propitiation. What on earth does that mean? He sent Jesus to to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, to pay the price for our sin, for your sin, to pay the penalty. And we actually sang again this morning to satisfy the wrath of God. That's what happened when Jesus came and sacrificed on my behalf, your behalf, for the world on the cross at Calvary. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now, when's now? Now. For those who are in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And verse 18 as well. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. You see, that story about Lazarus and the rich man, it says there was an impassable barrier. You can't go to heaven and you can't go down to hell and warn anybody. There was an impasse, and Jesus took care of that impasse for you and I, even though we were sinners, and gave us access through the Holy Spirit. When we were born again, the Holy Spirit came in, found a home, found a willing vessel, not a perfect vessel, just a willing vessel that God could work with. And that opened up full and free fellowship with the Father so that we could cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. So we need to demonstrate our love and appreciation for who he is and what he has done, as well as continues to do, by living a life committed to him and for his glory. Once again, he is absolutely good. Psalms 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from them who walk uprightly. All right. Going to give me another 7 minutes till 11 o'clock. Number 7, we have the revelation of God. Verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit and continues to reveal things through his Spirit. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And here's the key. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Let that sink in to your spirit. That's revelation. That's telling you, don't take that road, take this road. And then you find out later there was a 10-car pileup at the very moment that you were going to turn on the entrance ramp to go that way. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go that way. Go this way. Simple, but yet very important illustration. Don't do this. Don't talk to that person. You may not understand it, but that's what obedience is, doing what you don't understand because he says so. That's your only reason. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Revelation. You know, he reveals all the time, but we tend to get so busy we miss his cues. We miss the opportunity to hear and to see. That's what Revelation is. He uncovers something that is hidden and something you need to know, but it's hidden. That's Revelation. In God's timing. See, lots of times we want to know things, but it's premature. God wants us to wait. God wants us to trust. God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Paul's prayer, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is what you need to know to live a life that is pleasing to him. A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Not knowing about him, knowing him. Knowing about him won't change your life. Knowing him will change your life. First Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Of course, it's referring to end times there, but the principle is him bringing you revelation when you need it. What's the point of getting revelation when you don't need it? You're not going to be able to use that or benefit from it. And sad to say, I've learned that I am on a need-to-know basis. When I need to know, he lets me know. That's who he is. Until then, I need to trust. I need to have faith. I need to walk by faith and not by sight. Second Timothy 1, 9 and 10, saved and called for his purpose. Second Timothy 1, 9 and 10, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Nothing that we've done deserves it or could ever be worthy to deserve it, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The very gospel you believe, the very gospel message that changed your life forever. 1 John 3:2, in closing. Beloved, now we are. We weren't before, but now we are children of God. And it has not appeared or been revealed. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see, it will be revealed, We will see him just as he is. And in the meantime, we need to be good stewards of the revelation God gives us by speaking, by living, by responding to the light of the revelation that he gives us. And a sobering thought, you will be accountable for the level of revelation that you get. God's going to hold you to account. It's a privilege. It's part of the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit, that he will let us in on the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the faith of God, the love of God, all these things, and the revelation of God that we're talking about. It's God's total provision for every believer. And I would even offer that it's essential in the day we're living, more essential than it was yesterday. We don't know what's coming up. We see what's going on. But what do we do with that? How do we respond to that? We need revelation through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, so that we know that the decisions we make, the things we say, the things we do, are the right decisions. And we'll give glory to him. That, my friends, is points 1-7. We still have 4 more. Well, actually, we have 5 more. One of the 5 being the Son of God. That's our provision from the Father. So my prayer for you is that you have a completely awesome day today. That you will follow him. You will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit today, tomorrow, every day, until we meet again. And that you will next time have a testimony of what you saw, what God did in your life, on your behalf, and for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.